Our next presenter is Victoria Rifkina, and she's a student health specialist with Chicago Public Schools Office of Student Health and Wellness. Her work focuses on asthma, food allergy, diabetes, and managing the district-issued emergency epinephrine initiative. Previously, Victoria conducted asthma and food allergy research at Northwestern University, coordinating a study which aimed to improve chronic disease reporting at CPS. Victoria received her Master's of Public Health from DePaul University and is a certified health education specialist. And I'm going to gush a little bit. She's actually my former colleague and was on my team and such a great asset to Chicago and Chicago Public Schools. So come on up.
Thank you so much, Ashley. It's really great to be here in Chicago, kind of have home turf advantage and see a lot of my friends and former colleagues out in the audience. So thank you all for coming. I'm sure after 4 days of the conference, everyone has a lot to do. So I don't have any conflicts of interest or financial relationships to disclose. I do want to mention that I will be using the brand name EpiPen throughout this presentation. I don't have any relationships with Mylan. However, EpiPens are the brand of epinephrine auto-injectors that we stock in Chicago Public Schools. So today I'm going to explain how CPS became the first large urban school district to stock emergency epinephrine. We'll talk about the outcomes for the first 3 years of the initiative and then discuss some challenges, best practices, and future directions. So Chicago Public Schools is the third largest school district in the United States. Nearly 90% of our student population is of racial or ethnic minority and also low income as determined by qualification for the free or reduced lunch program. The Office of Student Health and Wellness aims to reduce health-related barriers to learning, and we also strive to become a national benchmark in student health and wellness in schools. And finally, the district-issued epinephrine initiative falls under the chronic health policies in student health in this diagram. So although our district-issued epinephrine auto-injectors are used to treat all sorts of allergic reactions, the impetus for this initiative was really an increased awareness and prevalence of food allergy, especially in schools. So according to the most recent national study conducted, one out of every 13 children has a food allergy. This equates to approximately 2 students per U.S. classroom. Also, while more than 15% of U.S. children with food allergies have had a reaction in school, 20 to 25% of all epinephrine administration in schools actually involve previously unknown food allergies or allergies of any sort. So schools really must be prepared for an anaphylactic emergency and stock epinephrine. So after the passage of the 2011 Illinois Emergency Epinephrine Act, Chicago Public Schools updated its administration of medication policy in 2012 to align with the law. One thing that's really important to note here is that during that time, only school nurses were able to administer epinephrine, the district-issued epinephrine, for first-time suspected allergic reactions. This is a very big issue with Chicago Public Schools because we do not have full-time school nurses in every building. Most of our nurses serve between 4 and 5 schools. Some have more, some have less, but that's about an average, so they are in buildings maybe 1 or 2 days per week. The great thing about, you know, having that knowledge was that in 2014, the Illinois Emergency Epinephrine Act actually was updated, and now trained personnel can administer the district-issued epinephrine for first-time suspected allergic reactions. Trained personnel, this quote-unquote, they have to undergo food allergy management training, they have to undergo epinephrine administration training, and the key part of this is that they have to be AED-CPR certified. The update to the law also outlined additional requirements for reporting, which I'll discuss later. So according to the Illinois Emergency Epinephrine Act, every school district that was stocking emergency epinephrine had to have a standing order signed by a physician. This really serves as the prescription for the district. And the standing order outlines all of the situations in which epinephrine can be administered, and it's also updated every time we stock new EpiPens in our schools. As it stands today, there are three situations in which district-issued EpiPens can be used. It's CPS. First, a student or staff member with a known allergy who doesn't have his or her own medication could self-administer the medication to themselves. Second, a trained school staff member can administer the epinephrine to a student or staff member who has a known allergy but doesn't have their own EpiPen or epinephrine. And then finally, school staff members who are properly trained can administer EpiPens to another person with no known allergy if they do suspect a severe allergic reaction. It's really important to note here also that if school staff members are acting in good faith, there is no liability according to CPS law or CPS policy and Illinois law. The only way that people would be subject to liability was if they were acting willfully, or willful or wanton conduct is the way that we say it. What's important, since we keep talking about this trained personnel, is what kind of staff training is required at the district. So all CPS staff in every school have to receive food allergy management training every 2 years. Additionally, each school must have one staff member who is AEDCPR certified. However, our office recommends that at least two people in each school are certified. What we've done since last January is that we have incorporated hands-on EpiPen training with dummy trainers. They don't have any medication in them, and they get to go through hands-on training during our existing AEDCPR certification courses that have been ongoing for many years, so it's kind of a one-stop shop for their training. And our office coordinates all these training opportunities, and we also track compliance. So distribution and logistics. The first round of district-issued epinephrine was distributed to all of our schools at the beginning of the 2012-2013 school year. Now we do a mass district-wide distribution every 15 months because that is our expiration cycle. The EpiPens we get for the district, they all expire at the same time. It's on a 15-month cycle. Elementary schools receive four total epinephrine auto-injectors, two adult doses and two junior doses. Middle schools and high schools only receive two EpiPens, and those are both adult doses. Right now, our distribution is coordinated through our network offices. We have 19 network offices, and they are provided directly to either principals, assistant principals, or their designees. So they're physically handed over, so no one can say they have not received their stock of epinephrine. Something else that's really important now is that schools must report all incidents the Office of Student Health and Wellness within 24 hours. Anytime that a district-issued EpiPen is used, they must report it immediately. Not only does reporting trigger the replacement process, the Office of Student Health and Wellness must also report every incident to the Illinois State Board of Education within 72 hours. So there were several different ways in which schools reported district-issued EpiPen incidents to the Office of Student Health and Wellness over the last 3 years. These reporting methods included completing and faxing physical forms, completing electronic nurse notes, actually calling our office and, reporting an incident over the phone, and then finally, something that had to be done regardless of any other reporting method was that they had to log an incident into our centralized incident reporting system, which is called Verify. So not only did these, varied reporting methods really cause a lot of confusion for our administrators and nurses, we also weren't really able to collect data consistently. We weren't always getting all the questions we had answered. So actually last May, we integrated something called an EpiPen data collection form into Verify, and it's a form that has to be completed and submitted to us, and that is now really the only reporting method in the district. So the EpiPen data collection form collects date and time of the incident, the identifying information for the school and also the person to whom the epinephrine is administered, and some demographics. It also tracks allergy and reaction history and whether or not, if this is a student, they have a food allergy action plan or a 504 plan on file. It also looks at the inciting trigger and what symptoms were presented. It collects the location of where the symptoms developed and where the epinephrine was actually administered. And it asks about the person who administered the epinephrine, what kind of training they received, the dosage, whether or not 911 was called, in which hospital the individual was taken to, and the outcome for the incident, whether or not they actually were diagnosed with an allergy, whether or not it was something else. So every time an EpiPen data collection form or a verify report is submitted, Office of Student Health and Wellness personnel actually receive an automated email from the system, which prompts follow-up. So every time one of these incidents gets reported, I actually get the email, so I'm able to follow up in a timely manner. So now we'll just talk about some results from the first 3 years of the program. So this first table just shows some demographic information for the folks that received our district-issued EpiPens. The vast majority were students, and most of the students were age 14 or older. These results show the data we were able to collect about reaction history and EpiPen administration. One thing I'd like to point out is the discrepancy in the data collection process has really led to some of our variables being not reported, as you can see here. And this is one of the things we were really trying to eliminate with the integration of the EpiPen data collection form into Verify. So one thing that's really interesting is earlier I said that approximately 20 to 25% nationwide EpiPen administrations are for first-time allergic reactions. Over the last 3 years, over half of our administrations have been to students who have never been diagnosed with an allergy previously. And the vast majority don't have any sort of management plan on file. Most of the doses administered were adult doses, and nearly, you know, a vast majority were also administered by the school nurse. Interestingly, even in year three, after the passage of the law allowing trained personnel to administer. In terms of the inciting trigger, food was the most common, with peanut being the most common, followed by tree nut. And then this is something that really struck me over the last 3 years, is that a little over a third of all reactions, the trigger was never determined. So in summary, over the last 3 years, 115 district-issued EpiPens were administered to students and staff members in CPS. Over half of these were administered to students with no previous diagnosis. So the problem with this is that many students may not have access to regular health care, neither to get diagnosed nor to obtain the appropriate medication, which really speaks to the importance of maintaining this program within our schools. Also, since the inciting trigger in one-third of all of our reactions was never identified, students may not know what to avoid in the future, and this is also problematic if they don't have access to allergy testing, which I know even for people who have a lot of resources have a lot of trouble getting to an allergist. So over the last 3 years, we've really encountered three main categories of challenges. The first is communication. There is sometimes miscommunication or a lack of communication between principals and school nurses. Additionally, our district-wide communication strategies, such as email blasts and announcements and our weekly electronic newsletter, may not be ineffective. I know I don't get to read all of my emails as quickly or as, you know, thoroughly as I'd like to. I'm sure a principal or a school nurse may not have that chance as well. Our second challenge has been limited resources. While we are only allowed to order one pack of EpiPen and one pack of EpiPen Junior for every school, many of our schools have multiple buildings, and we also have schools who tend to misplace their stock either over winter break or over the summer. So this does really pose some challenges with making sure that all schools have the medication that they need. And in terms of resources, I'm sure many people in this room can relate, we also have limited staff capacity, as I am the only person in our office who works on this initiative, and it's about one-fourth of all the things that I'm responsible for. And then our final challenge, as you've seen, is reporting and data collection. The inconsistent data collection tools have definitely led to inconsistent variables being collected and having some things that have been missing. And the other issue with this is that it's not always possible for staff to get a hold of someone at the school and follow up to make sure that all the data is collected. Unfortunately, the position that did oversee this initiative was vacant for about 9 months prior to me joining the district. So while there are challenges, there are also a lot of best practices. In terms of distribution, we've learned that it's actually much better to distribute to principals as opposed to school nurses, which is what we did the first year. As I mentioned before, school nurses aren't in the building every day, so what we want to make sure is that we're giving the medication to someone who's in the school every day, and they can be responsible for this initiative. In terms of reporting, the EpiPen data collection form integration has been really great this year. This is the first full school year that we're doing it. Of course, there are hiccups and a little technical assistance to schools, but overall, we're getting a lot of great consistent data collection, and all of this is downloadable and extractable, so it's really great for analysis as well. In terms of training, incorporating that hands-on EpiPen training into our existing AED-CPR course has been really great. We only have 3 professional development days in the district, so when we have folks in front of us, we want to make sure they're getting all the information that they need to go back to the school and be able to do their jobs. We have also the Office of Student Health and Wellness has really tried to collaborate a lot more with our Office of Diverse Learners. That's the office who oversees school nurses. So ironic, Office of Student Health and Wellness does not oversee school nurses in any way. So this has been really great because through our collaboration, we have been able to ensure that we are providing consistent, clear messages to schools and that schools are hearing the same thing both from our office and from school nurses. And then in terms of future directions, I do not see this initiative going away anytime soon. It is funded both by the CPS Board of Education, and we also participate in the Mylan EpiPens for Schools program, which is a really great resource for us. The initiative also has the support of our senior leadership, and they see the value in making sure that this medication is provided to our students. One thing that we are working on now is increased school accountability. We are updating our food allergy management guidelines to make sure that there's language that talks about what will happen if there is a misplaced EpiPen, if they're not reporting properly, and things like that. Because we have the logistics up and running for this program, we really want to make sure that accountability and continuous improvement is where we're taking the program next. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors. First and foremost is Liliana DeSantiago. She's actually in the office. Or in the audience. She is my predecessor and really got this program up and running at the district. Amazing. I learned everything I know from her. Also, I'd like to acknowledge Megan Erskine and Dr. Stephanie White. My contact information is there, and I look forward to questions at the end.